You are not.
You all set, Manny?
You're good.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 6 o'clock on Monday, April 15th, 2021. And this is the April council meeting for the town of Curry Beach. March. Thank you. The March council meeting for the town of Curry Beach. I guess I'm pushing ahead here. So now that we've called to order, may we have the invocation? John?
Please join me in prayer. Lord, we are meeting today to conduct matters of business. Guide our hearts and our minds in the spirit of fairness, right thought, and speech. Impart your supreme wisdom upon our activities so that our affairs may reach a successful conclusion. Thank you so very much for being our source of guidance today. Amen.
Amen. Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, gentlemen, we have approval of the consent agenda items. Is there anything to be moved for the consent agenda, or do we accept it as it stands?
Make a motion we approve as submitted.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Moving on to the adoption of the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I'll make a motion we approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the agenda stands. Public comment. Do we have anybody signed on for public comment, or do you have any notes, Mandy?
Debbie Elliott. Well, she has a presentation for council. Well, we kind of, okay, you're right, sorry.
That's actually under presentations.
It is, you're right. Sorry about that.
It's okay. So we don't have any sent in public comments? Okay, moving right along then.
Do we need to unmute star 6 if you want?
Yes, go ahead.
2 minutes for public comment, if someone online. Star 6 to unmute, 2 minutes.
Okay, nothing's jumping right out, so we will move on to presentations. This evening we have a presentation from Ms. Elliott, the chair of the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. Can I talk without my mask?
Yes.
Debbie has a PowerPoint presentation, but I cannot get it up. I think the HDMI port has gone bad because it's not, I mean, it won't do anything with the computer or the Apple TV.
Okay, perhaps.
So I'm going to email it right now.
Perhaps you can talk to it, Debbie, or if you want to turn it around or stand in front. Stand in the front with your.
Or I can hand this to you. I'm going to email it and you can all have it on your tablet.
Okay.
It's very brief.
Okay,
and,
so.
And what I can do is I can either wait or proceed with presenting, whichever you prefer.
I think if you're going to send it to our town email.
Yes.
Okay, let us grab that.
Ms. Michelle Skiz.
Do you have it?
There's also a narrative, like a written narrative that went with our application that gives a little bit more information. And I presume that that's probably in your packet. So that's something that has a little bit more background than the PowerPoint.
Okay.
Are you ready for me to proceed?
If you want, we all have a copy of that, if you wish to proceed with that.
With the PowerPoint?
That you can, if you want to talk to this, we have a copy of the...
Yes, and it's very similar.
Okay.
Okay. So, thank you for having me here this evening. And as we've discussed with some of you all, and certainly quite a bit with our chamber members and the chamber board, the Pleasure Island Chamber is going through a very positive, significant change this year. As you all know, our former president, Greg Reynolds, has retired, and so we have really taken this opportunity to kind of look at everything that we have been doing and what we'd like to do, and have a very ambitious roster of initiatives and programs for this year. And with that, one of the initiatives that we've talked about is relocating our offices and the visitor center. Right now, we are in Carolina Beach Town Hall, and we have been for, gosh, I don't know how many years, but quite a long time. And as you all may know, we are both a Chamber of Commerce and a visitor center. So at Carolina Beach Town Hall, there is an office that is shared or has been shared historically by the president and an office manager, so our staff is housed there. But we also have a bit of the lobby that we use as a visitor center. It's not the most ideal situation when you pull up to Town Hall and you know, you see the entry to the police department. It's not exactly screaming, come visit us at the tourist center. And also being in Town Hall, I think sends the wrong message. Our chamber is really meant to be promoting the entire island, not just Carolina Beach. So with that, we've been looking at the possibility of relocating the town of Carolina Beach because we consider the former library building, which is at 300 Cape Fear Boulevard. It's a small one-story brick building with parking in the rear, and we have looked at it and contacted a contractor about making some initial renovations that would make it workable in the short term for the chamber and the visitor center, say for the next 12 to 24 months. With the idea that we would also hire an architect to design like the ultimate vision for that property, which would be more of a state-of-the-art visitor center and also serve as chamber offices and a boardroom that would serve the chamber and also serve the community. So to that, we have a request for ROT funds for that of $22,500. $15,000 of that would be for the phase one renovation. The total for that renovation is $50,000. We're asking the town of Curry Beach for $15,000 and the town of Carolina Beach for $35,000. And again, the intent being that we would renovate it to the extent that it would be fully functional for our immediate needs, but really what that building needs to truly work as a good, attractive visitor center is to be gutted and then to start anew inside. The building has great bones, it just needs some attention. And we're also asking for $7,500 from the town of Curry Beach and $12,500 from Carolina Beach to hire an architect to develop that design. A design, a budget, and a timetable with the idea that we would say within 12 to 24 months be able to come back to Cary Beach and Carolina Beach for ROT funding for that, and we would also definitely be kicking off our own capital campaign to fund that. So that is the vision for the new Pleasure Island Chamber and Visitor Center property that we feel would be an incredible boost to the entire island. I think it could be an incredible destination. It's got great parking, it's got great visibility. We would really be able to do a much better job in catering to visitors to our island.
Who owns the building now, the county?
The town of Carolina Beach owns the building.
The town of Carolina Beach, are they selling it to you or?
No.
They're giving it to you?
No, they're not giving it to us. We are very optimistic that we would be able to lease it at no cost with the idea that we are investing some significant improvements into the building and also the design is intended to have a fairly large boardroom that again would meet our own uses, but that we would also make available for a nominal fee to other outside groups. So we feel like it would be a real asset to the whole entire island as that visitor center, as a usable meeting space, but most significantly as a visitor center. I'm sure y'all in your travels have been to other communities and you've been into their visitor center. And visitor centers these days are pretty impressive in terms of that experience that you can give to a visitor or a guest to the island. And we'd really like to do something of that caliber that the entire island could be really, really proud of.
So so when you ask for room occupancy tax money, which is what this, I understand this because I read it, Is your thoughts that's the funding that is designated for marketing?
Yes.
So so you would cut the marketing budget since you're also on that committee as well, I assume?
No, sir.
Okay.
This is, when we first started talking about this, the potential use for this building, the first thing that I did was contact Sean Brady and Kim Puffin at the Wilmington and Beaches CPB. To confirm that room occupancy funds, the use of room occupancy funds was an appropriate use for this, for a visitor center.
Which part of the funds, that's what I'm asking about. The funds designated for marketing or the funds designated to the town?
For,
yes.
It would be the so the first 3% is designated to the town.
Right, for use for expenses that the town incurs for visitors.
Right, so right. It would be the first 3%.
So not the marketing.
Not the marketing.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I
That's all I need to know.
I was confused.
Wouldn't this be marketing though?
Well, it's
really the first 3%. 60% goes to beach nourishment. 40% goes to the TDA. Then the second 3%. 50% goes to also to marketing, I guess specific to the town, and 50% to tourism-related activities.
Exactly. I was just trying to understand, is this the money that we're required by state law to spend on marketing anyway?
Right.
Which I advocated against but have no traction. Or is it the money that we use to defray the cost to our taxpayers for the cost of visitors, like lifeguards and trash and other things that we're required to spend to support our visitors? That's what I wanted to understand.
This looks like a more of a budget request. Why don't we take this under consideration and discuss it in our budget hearing?
And this is just the first part of my presentation.
There's more?
Yes.
Yeah. This is phase one. Is there going to be additional requests in the coming years for further funds?
Yes, so the idea was that the phase one renovation would get the building in a state that, again, we would be able to function there, and it would be you know, kind of cleaned up a bit and spruced up a little bit to enable us to operate there and to have some form of a visitor center that is still a great improvement over what it currently is in the lobby of Carolina Beach Town Hall. And that we would have time to then hire an architect to develop the design for the building. I don't know if y'all have been in there anytime recently, but it's an incredible building in my opinion. It's this kind of all brick mid-century building, but over the years there's been this wall put up and that wall put up, and there's not really been a lot of rhyme or reason, but it has great bones. I think if it were gutted and we were able to sort of see the windows again and really, you know, have an architect who you know, can help us sort of put that vision for the visitor center together, I think it could be a real showplace for our community.
Okay, I think we understand the request on that one. What's the second request?
So the rest of our request is for funding for events that we're doing this year. One is the Beach Music Festival. Another is the Fort Fisher Concert Series. And I know that we had come to the town to ask if the Parks and Rec Department may be inclined to kind of take that back. But we presumed that for this year, that would be unlikely. That the request came quite late to the town. So we included that in the request, and we also included some funding for the Kite Festival. So if I may start with the Beach Music Festival. The Beach Music Festival is the largest event that the Chamber puts on every year. This year, it's its 35th anniversary for that festival. It attracts 5,000 plus people from all over. People come from near and far to that event. And it is a huge, huge boost to tourism, of course, for the entire island, both Cary Beach and Carolina Beach. And it's certainly a big benefit to tourism, but it's also a great benefit to local residents. It's a much-loved event for the entire family. We are requesting $5,000 in ROT funds. We're requesting $15,000 from Carolina Beach for the same event. And that is scheduled to take place August 14th, I believe is the date. And we pushed it back, of course. It usually occurs in June. Of course, it did not happen at all last year. We're pushing it back to mid-August this year. For the Fort Fisher Concert Series, this is a series of six free summer concerts that take place at Fort Fisher in June, July, and August. And again, this is a very beloved concert series throughout the entire island. It's free. It's very family friendly. I think that it builds incredible goodwill among both our residents and, of course, the tourists. And the funding request we have for that is $10,000 in room occupancy tax, and we're asking Carolina Beach for $5,000. We have not, this would be the first year that we would ask Carolina Beach for funding, but again, we believe, just like the Beach Music Festival, that the Fort Fisher Concert Series is something that is a huge draw and a benefit for the entire community.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the third event is the Kite Festival. So the Kite Festival takes place in November, and the Kite Festival is one of the largest and most successful events on the island, and it is a huge draw. People come from far and wide for that event, and it attracts upwards of 10,000 visitors over a two-day period in November, which is particularly attractive because that's a time of year that can be slow or slower for our businesses throughout the island. And the Chamber has been presented with the opportunity to purchase the rights to that festival, which we are very, very interested in. And our goal, of course, is to build upon the event and to make it a bigger tourism draw and to create it as a revenue generator for the chamber to enable us again to do more for our members. Our funding request for that is $5,000, and we are requesting $15,000 from the town of Carolina Beach.
So to generate revenue, you're going to charge people to come to?
No, we don't have any intention of that. What we would like to do is, we talked about doing like a some sort of a food truck rodeo, selling merchandise. We are somewhat constrained because of the location in the, you know, the Fort Fisher recreation area and on the beach. So we would need to work closely with the state. We have explored that to some extent as to what we can do. Of course, there's no alcohol sales or anything, but we do think that there is an opportunity to do more. Like, historically, the Kite Festival is all about people bring their kites, and that's about it. There really hasn't been any vendors or any merchandise, and we felt that there could be an opportunity there in terms of sponsorships and just making it bigger and better. And not necessarily even bigger, but better. And this is, you know, from talking to our different members, everybody universally says that the Kite Festival is huge for the island.
So what is the total request for everything?
The total request is...
On the last page.
Yeah.
42,000.
I didn't want to misinterpret it.
Yes, 42,500.
Okay. 42,500 from ROT. And that includes every one of these events?
Yes.
Okay. You do realize that, though there may be some benefit to Curry Beach from a tourism perspective, only the Fort Fisher actually is in or near Curry Beach. The other events are, frankly, on the boardwalk in Carolina Beach.
Yes,
and I understand why you're asking them for more.
And we understand that very much, and that's really a perception that the Chamber is working very hard to get away from. We really believe that any event of a certain size, and regardless of whether it's located in Curie Beach or Carolina Beach, is a huge benefit to the entire island. We're a small community, and I think that the spillover effect from one to the other and vice versa is significant. And so looking at the way that we have requested ROT funds in the past, frankly, we felt was perhaps not the best way to approach it. One of the biggest goals, you know, for me personally and professionally, is I would really like to see the Chamber do a much better job of embracing Curie Beach. I think that, again, because we have been located in Town Hall, and for a variety of reasons, I think perhaps we have not done enough in that vein. And so we have had many discussions about changing that. And really, this presentation and these budget requests, I think, sort of go hand in hand with that. What is good for Curie Beach is good for Pleasure Island. What's good for Carolina Beach is good for Curie Beach.
I wouldn't go that far. That's just me.
Okay. All right. So 42.5 from ROT funds is what you're asking us to have in consideration, and we are in the budget process right now, so we will take a look at this. I can't promise what the outcome will be, but I certainly will tell you that we'll look at this.
I appreciate that very much, and speaking for the board, we all appreciate that. And we're also available, of course, if y'all have any more questions as you look through these materials. If you need anything else from us, we're happy to accommodate you.
Okay. Steve, did you want to say something?
Do you mind if I add to what Ben said?
No, you certainly may.
Mayor and Councilman, thank you for letting Debbie and our chamber present this to you. It's a bit different than what it has been in the past, but I think it's time to probably dispel some conversations that I think have been being had about what the chamber is ultimately going to do. It's not blowing everything up and starting from scratch. It's not going away. And is I think we're through this transition, and is the word that I think Debbie's been using the most, and I think it's very accurate, that we're transitioning from an event-based organization to a event-based organization, and in addition, support our local businesses and work in economic development to help improve our island. I think if we look at the three, I think there's three events that we're asking, and actually two of those are south of Carolina Beach.
Okay.
Okay. So to say that we're, as you know, both know, we're both residents of Curie Beach,
right,
20-some years. We have a lot invested here and are very proud to be residents of Curie Beach. And I think, I told Debbie, I said, it's embarrassing for me, as I was asked to be on the board, to go into the police department, to go into the chamber office. That's essentially what visitors that come on our island do. Probably, if any of y'all, if you haven't been there, you need to visit, because it's silly. It's just absurd for a visitor that's saved all year long for their vacation to come to our beach, to go into the police department, through the police department, to pick up and get information on their vacation. I'm just blown away by the fact that that's how it's set up. So the fact that we're talking about moving out, I think is a huge, huge benefit for our island, both Curie Beach and Carolina Beach. What we're proposing to do in this phase one is get it to be a very usable, appealing, clean, someplace that we could all be proud of. A bike rack out front where people, because it's just one block off of Lake Park Boulevard. So a bike rack out front, maybe some surfboards inside, a TV with scrolling information, all the literature on the walls, an executive director with an assistant, and really make the thing right. And then have this additional conference room that Debbie alluded to that could be used, you know, openly. The way we're looking at setting it up is actually come in the back hall, the back door, which is where all the parking is, as you know, just run a 6-foot wall that would go directly into this conference room that could ultimately be used for whatever, any organization here in Curie Beach or Carolina Beach that needed a nice meeting space, and it's a nice large meeting space. So, yes, what we're talking about is a bit different, but I think if we, as we've looked at it, and we've looked at this thing every way upside down, I really feel like this is the best for our island, for Curie Beach and Carolina Beach. So we appreciate your consideration, we appreciate you looking at it, and I think long term, I think we'll all look back and say, this is a pretty good thing. So thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
I just want to say one other thing. Thank you, Steve. We are undergoing a lot of changes at the chamber, which we're all very excited about. We're rebranding the chamber. The name is now the Pleasure Island Chamber and Visitor Center. We're announcing that new brand very soon. We're redoing the website. We are being very deliberate and methodical about how we're looking at our operations and, you know, how we're operating as a chamber. And like Steve said, we're evolving from a chamber that has been very, very heavily focused on events to a chamber that's still focused on events, but ready to do an extraordinary job as a chamber that really helps our local businesses grow.
So are you going to put your bylaws on your website since they're not there now? For interest. Are you going to put your bylaws on your website since they're not there now or couldn't find them?
Wednesday is our monthly meeting. And last month we had such a long laundry list of things to go through. Our bylaws are being updated.
Okay.
And we have numerous items that need to be updated that we're going to be asking for approval on Wednesday. At that point in time, then we'll be putting, and to Debbie's point, we're having a whole new website.
I'm just asking. So I was looking for them when I saw you on here, and I couldn't find them. And then on your revenue statement in your packet, it doesn't say what type of corporation you're registered under. It just says your exempt status. So what are you?
501c6.
C6.
Okay, thank you.
And the website will have all sorts of stuff that's currently not on.
Yeah, okay. There'll be a lot more information available in the near future. We're in the process, literally doing our onboarding with the web company now. We're making the appointment today.
Just as a closing comment to this is that though we're complementary and we have the same goals to Carolina Beach, we don't necessarily attract the same visitors.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's something for us to think about and how to utilize this stuff, but I am encouraged by the actions that are coming out of the chamber. Encouraged by the view to the future.
Thank you.
Because we can't, none of us can sit around and just let it happen. We're going to have to guide it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have Mo coming up next. She has some photos to share with you, and I am totally crippled without my technology, so I'm going over
the old school.
We got them an email.
You did get them an email?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, okay, I just wanted to make sure. And there's also the application for our PNC member, in case you couldn't get to it quick enough.
Wow, I would be so excited to see on that Pleasure Island Chamber and Visitor Center that Pleasure Island could be a bike-friendly community. How awesome would that be? We're working on it. And my committee, our committee, the Bike Ped Committee is so awesome. It's, you know, getting to be the end of the fiscal year, and we had requested a budget for this year, and it ends up that we have $2,150 left in our pockets at this time. We are requesting that with Parks and Rec, we talked about this and it sounded like a fantastic idea, that we install a deluxe public work stand, which is the repair station for bicycles at Joe Eakes Park. And we priced it out, not the top of the line stainless steel, not the bottom of the line, but right in the middle, powder coated, so it can, live in our climate without being destroyed quickly. And the cost on the stand, adding a wheel chock, adding an outdoor pump with gauge, adding shipping, powder coating it for this product that is made in the USA is $2,092.30. You're looking at a picture of the same thing that's installed down by Mike Chappelle Park at the beginning of the Island Greenway in Carolina Beach. This includes an installation toolkit. We're requesting it in the color blue. And we would hope that our public works department could easily install it.
Well, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Will the pump have both types of valves available that you can do a my type of bicycle and then a beach cruiser type?
I have no idea. I don't even understand what
that is. I think it does. I think it's got that dual bed on the end of it.
It can service two bikes at once. The tools are retractable, and there is a link that with a QR code that people can use a smartphone if they have any, you know, need any help. So that's a good question, and I can find out for sure.
Because there are two different specific ways or tires to have a valve. And like on mine, are the thin skin tires, and you take the cap off, you unscrew the needle piece, put it on, clamp it down tight, and pump. The others are like pumping up a basketball, you know, the little, mm-hmm. just a little screw head on.
I think they also have adapters for that, John, right? They have adapters for that?
Yeah.
Generally?
I mean, yeah. I pump at home, I just have the one pipe that
right.
works my bicycle. But you can get an adapter. Mm-hmm.
My pump at home has a place for both of them on the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, my mountain bike has the same thing. They gave me an adapter with it. I can use it anywhere.
It does? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would be the pieces, but... When I zoom in on the photo, there's two wires hanging from it. What's the brand of
that? Any,
Well, we got it from the Park and Facilities catalog. CE, I think, is the brand.
Okay, this is a request to... for them to use their budget money for this particular item. So the budget is within the committee. You have the cash. So the committee is asking us if we want to install this station at their request.
Does that mean we'll put, so the pavement, which we have a quote for now, would go into next year's budget? Alan, is that your thoughts?
No, this is out of this year.
No, I'm asking, there's a big, That pavement was, I think, $11,000 if I looked at the quote, right?
That was just for down there.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
including this.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
That mean, that's been
that's for next year's budget. Okay.
Next year's budget. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did make that request. In
okay. Okay.
Mo, will the concrete pad, is there something there now that it could be installed on, or is that additional to the stand itself?
At the park, yeah, I don't believe a concrete pad exists. Right now, no. It would be a new concrete pad, small. It doesn't require a large space.
Well, that'd be a little bit more money on top of it.
When we say Joe Eakes Park, we're not talking about Matsu leased land.
No,
we are
close to Matsu.
Yes, we are. That is Matsu leased land.
That is, we lease that park. So it would.
But that's fine.
It's on. I mean, that should be okay, I guess.
We will let them know.
Yeah.
Since it's a fixed structure with the concrete, just prior, just to the.
It just seemed like the most convenient place for bicyclists to get to.
Okay. Nikki, does Recreation have any opinion on this?
We support the.
Okay. Any additional conversations or discussion here? This is based on last year's budget.
Another question about bikes.
Okay. Alan, any points?
I don't have any questions.
It would be a 3-foot by 3-foot concrete pad that is.
Okay.
So it's very small.
I support this project.
Okay.
Do you have a recommendation on where you'd put it, Nikki? At the park?
I was going to, if it was approved, work with Jimmy and figure out the best location for it.
Okay. What's your will, gentlemen?
I'll make a motion that we purchase the bike repair stand for the request of the Bicycle Pedestrian Committee with the remaining funds in this year's budget.
So we have a motion?
Yes.
I'll say.
Okay, and a second. Any other discussion on this, gentlemen? Any other questions on this?
I would definitely be more comfortable if we just let Matsu know before we add anything out there. Well, so I can email them.
There's no need to tell them if we don't approve it. If we approve it, then we should tell them.
Right.
Otherwise, there's no need to tell them. So, okay. But I agree with you. Before we would proceed, even after approval, we would let them know.
Even as silly as it sounds.
And that would be you, Joseph. Okay, we have a motion and a second. No more questions. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? There you go.
Very much.
Thank you.
I have one other thing regarding bike. I don't know if your committee is promoting, if they would or not, but this year's tour to Blueberry, mm-hmm. during the Blueberry Festival in Bagaw,
mm-hmm.
is a bike ride, and you can basically do however many miles you want. They do have 100 kilometers, kind of the max, which is 62 miles. It is on June 19th, and because of COVID, there are three different types of ride, but one is in person, but they're limiting the amount of entrance to 250 people. I don't know if you want to put that on your committee website or add it to the bike part of the town website or something. But
I would be happy to promote that on our website. I am on the board of the Terry Benji Bicycling Foundation, and I think that's in conjunction with Kicker Cyclists.
Yeah, Kicker Cyclists are our sponsor with the Blueberry.
Okay, website. So we can note that on our.
If you'll send me the details, I'll put it on your page.
On our page. Okay, great. And then,
Commissioner, the interest is $40.
You had also asked if we were doing anything in May because of, Bike Month. And we just, after talking about it, we decided with COVID and everything, and we're just not going to go there this year. However, we're already starting to get the wheels turning for next year when Curry Beach celebrates 75 years.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can I just make one other request for that? To comply with the town's purchasing policy, we'll need a quote, I guess, or some kind of an estimate so that a purchase order can be prepared.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Would you do that?
Yeah, you should have that request.
Okay. Thank you, Mom.
Thank you.
Okay, Board of Adjustments, Rules and Procedures.
And if you just hit that link, you go right to the amendment. Mm-hmm. This is a follow-up from our discussion last month, and basically we're covering three points here. One is to establish a clear alternate member policy, and when we get to the HPC, the ROPs are exactly the same. The second point is to change some of the language in the rules of procedure to start recognizing 160D instead of 160A. You'll see that in the very first paragraph. The third thing is 160D requires rules of procedure, but it also has a provision that council can adopt those for the various public bodies. If council doesn't, then the public body may. But in talking with Mandy, we felt that that should be a prerogative for council, so we're bringing these to you for approval, and if approved, we'll disseminate them to those two public bodies. But beyond that, the change is very simple. It shows up in the BOA ROP's rules of procedure on page 2. Two alternate members appointed to serve in the absence, temporary disqualification, for example, conflict of interest, or vacancy. So that all bases are covered. And we did have a telling example of that at the last Board of Adjustment meeting where two members were absent, but we had the two alternates there and we were able to have a quorum. So, and you'll see at the very end on the bottom of the last page, These can be amended by majority vote of town council and approved and adopted by town council. I propose today's date. But it's really that simple. If you all have any questions about that, Mandy and I would be glad to answer.
I think it's pretty straightforward, Counselor. I don't know. I don't have any questions. How about the rest of the council?
No.
Make a motion we adopt the proposed text amendments regarding alternate member policy for the Board of Adjustments for the Town of Cherry Beach as
Second.
Presented.
Second.
Any further questions? Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Community Center.
I'll take the next one and we'll see if we can be do it in a matter of a minute or less. Exactly the same thing for HPC.
Okay.
And again, HPC, if we go forward with the text amendments next month, then HPC will be a quasi-judicial decision-making body. So the purpose is to conform its alternate member policy to be identical with VOA, in other words, two to fill either an absent temporary disqualification or vacancy. Everything else is, as I said, when I presented on the BOA.
So I did have a question on this.
I did too, go ahead.
No, you first.
The HPC, is there any limitations on who can serve? So if someone from DNZ was on the board, is that a problem since that's a state board or a member of council? Or is it, you know, is that gonna be okay?
You've raised a good point, and let me tell you what Mandy and I have decided on that. Normally, my experience is when a public body is established by the governing board, my experience is that it's done by an ordinance that sets forth the charter for that body. We don't have that in HPC's instance. Second point, there's been a lot of discussion about possibly changing or modifying the composition of HPC if we go forward. My thinking is this. This started out as an alternate member policy task, and I've kept it at that. We'll know next month if we're going forward with the preservation overlay district. If we do, then at that point in time, in lieu of establishing a charter and having an ordinance, and based on council's direction, we'll simply amend these things to address membership qualifications, because the statutes are very precise about who can be appointed. You need levels of expertise in several different fields. At that point, we can address those considerations and put them in black and white, in addition to whatever modifications, if any, you all want to make to the composition of that council if we go forward. With respect to the other aspect of your question, we are in the process of looking at the practice and procedure policy that you all have. Every time that I've picked it up, there are inconsistencies and contradictions and the text can be improved. So in talking with Mandy, we're going to begin a project of looking at that overall and seeing what rewrites we can do to tighten up that document. But the first order of business is to address whatever. And it's hard for me to be articulate because of that inconsistency, but to address any inconsistencies or develop the best language possible. I'm not aware of any statutes that prohibit public body members serving on other public bodies or committees, but it's something that requires some consideration and some insight from council and in close cooperation with Mandy, but more importantly, it's part and parcel of policy that needs to be reviewed and updated.
Yeah, that answers my question. So it's board membership that I wanted to make sure we discussed. But if this policy is not addressing that at this point, then I'm fine with moving
forward.
We want to make sure we're not
contradicting anything else we have in place. And
I understand.
Because we have a policy now, you can't, if you're on P&Z, you can't serve on another board. Or if you're on BOA, you can't serve on another board currently, right?
Yes. But at the same time, there's an exception carved out for PVC with respect correct. To HVC and LUVC. Yeah. So it's we will bring you a better product in time, and we'll need your input on certain key points, but we're not, as Commissioner, as Council Member Hager says, we're not there at this point. At this point, it's simply my primarily alternate member policy.
Good.
Then with that understanding, I make a motion we approve as presented and address the membership issue at a later time.
Second.
Okay, any other questions? Statements?
Thank you.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
I thank you, it was premature.
Okay. Okay, moving on to Land Use Committee.
We had our first kickoff meeting a couple weeks ago with Wes, and the main topic of that was we're going to be sending a survey out to the citizens. He presented us with a very broad survey, 10-question survey, because we want to keep it short. And then we had a very spirited debate, is probably the best way I can put it, on the content and makeup of that survey. And all that information has been forwarded to Mandy, and then Wes is going to finalize that and make it a more cohesive survey for us to send out. Of course, as soon as we do get that, I'll forward it to Council if there's any questions or concerns about it. Alan, you have any?
No, excuse
me. So, and we have our next meeting to address that March the 29th.
March 29th.
Yeah. That's when we'll get together. We'll meet monthly going forward with Wes until we are complete.
Okay. Any questions for Joseph? All right. Moving on. Marketing Committee. Any input, John?
No, nothing.
Okay. Parking Committee. I'm going to cover the parking committee items under old business. So we'll move through that and go to Planning and Zoning Commission interview alternate candidate.
Mr. Barlock.
Here, Mr. Barlock.
Would you please take a stand at the podium? You know, the first thing that I want to say is there were three very good candidates for this position. I would be delighted to have any of them on any of our committees based on their work histories. You're before us. You've been identified as the committee's choice, so we may have a few questions for you. Anybody wish to lead that? Wish to lead it with a question?
Well, Ken Richardson was not at the meeting, and anytime we have an alternate position, Ken Richardson asks one question. What's your opinion of the 35-foot height limit?
Well, coming from New York, I'm used to some high buildings. I believe that I like the limit. I think that the outlook that the city has now, you know, look that it has, the town, I'm sorry, is appropriate for the type of community that we are.
So
I'll ask a question.
Go ahead.
I'm waiting on David. A lot of times we get people that are very adamant about serving on these committees, and I just want you to make sure you understand that there is a time commitment. And we don't say you can't go out of town and go on vacation and stuff, but we want you to understand the importance of the time commitment, for this is something very important.
Yes,
especially for the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, especially the next 12 to 18 months. Yeah.
Understood.
Just that to say.
Where else would you go on vacation?
So, I see your volunteer experience. My question would be, have you served on any other public committees relative to government,
no.
Town government?
This is Mayor, I haven't served on any committees like that, but I have been in front of many committees on the other side. I spent 40 years in the electric utility business as a project manager for the last 15 years, and I presented many projects in front of committees, so I am quite used to the protocols from the other side of the table.
Right.
And I always said while I was at those meetings that it was very interesting to me just to see how the town politics would work and city politics in my case. And I always wondered when I had the time to do it. So now since I retired completely last November, and when I saw the opening position come, I said, this is it. So I put it in front of me.
So you were going from anticipating what the questions might be to the guy asking the questions. So,
well, I've been asked a lot of questions.
Yeah. So what made you choose Kiri Beach?
Our family's vacationed here for 15 or 16 years. We've owned the house for the last 6 years. Initially, it was a townhouse for 5 years, and then a year ago, we purchased a private property right on the corner of H and 4.
Okay.
Across from Public Works.
Okay. So I like to ask that question because it usually I want to find out why you like Kiri Beach, because you're more than likely to preserve that which you like.
Right. Well, so. I like it definitely because of the beach. And then some of my interests are stormwater management and the beach, erosion control, things like that. Very, very high on my list.
Okay. John, you have any questions?
While you were owning for the 6 years before full time, where were you and your family residing?
We were on 4th Avenue, actually half a block away from where we are now, between H and I. Oh. It was just a two unit.
No?
Good.
Okay.
Glad someone's willing to serve.
Sorry?
I said I'm glad someone's willing to serve.
Right. Good. We have a good group of people who bring themselves forward, put themselves out there. And it's not always easy. And you're willing to take that on, right? Especially in this area, as you could probably hear from some of the questions. It takes patience. It takes focus. And it takes a pretty defined set of what is really trying to be accomplished so we don't pop around all over the place. I think we have that, and your professional background is clearly makes you intuitive instead of empirical, so I kind of like to see engineers engaged in things like this. Okay. What's the will of the council?
Make a motion we accept Mr. Bartlock as the alternative candidate for PNC. Alternative for PNC.
Second.
Okay, any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Shoreline access and beach protection. I don't know, Dennis, are you on? Okay, we'll move forward.
I can give a quick update.
Okay.
John Batson and I rode the beach last Friday morning, and y'all got the emails about the signs.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely some work there to be done, and that's we've got all the information we need now to, as we've talked about, that kind of ongoing inventory of where we are with all the beach access signs, no dogs on the beach, stay off the dunes, the CAMA signs, so we know where we stand with everything. And Shoreline Access did increase their budget to help offset, because there's going to be some, they're going to order the signs and then get them to Jimmy for installation. So
we know when we get them. Sooner's better, right?
Sooner's better.
For public works? Okay.
A side question. John and I had 22 public beach accesses, but he also felt there should have been 24, and someone else said 26. How many public beach accesses are we counted 22?
I can look on our insurance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would hope it would be.
I would hope we pass.
John Batson's public map. I mean, okay. They should be recorded easements, so we should know the actual number. I mean, did some easements disappear or something, John?
I couldn't remember the number.
Okay.
So it's 22 well. Then, right? You could have told me that, so I wouldn't ask a question in a public meeting. But, But pretty much the signs on the south end, Ocean Dunes are in good shape. There's a gap near the, on both sides of the pier, they're pretty good. And then it kind of trails off again heading toward the north side. Okay. The signs are in the best shape are the Dow signs. The warning signs okay. around Dow.
And the, we've already got signs coming, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
All right. As we get ready for season. Stormwater Committee?
So we canceled the February meeting. We have a meeting next Monday, March 22nd, which will be advertised, and we'll hold that. The mayor and I met with one of the HOAs that had some concerns for the LDSI. Not behind Settlers Lane, but actually the report that Jimmy's been prioritizing and working on. So we will get that, the information. We asked them to document their concerns so we can share them with LDSI. And we'll forward that to them for their reply, and then we'll reprioritize where we are on that study. So right now, it's in the budgeting process, so it's not going to stop any work, but we want to make sure that any concerns are addressed with our engineer before we do anything. So that's what we'll do. That's all I have.
Okay.
And that information we forwarded to council as well when it sent the audience out. Yep. I just got it yesterday.
Yeah, I saw it this, I saw it today myself.
Yep.
So, department, department head business administration.
I just have one quick item. The mayor had sent out an email to all of you earlier last week about COVID Memorial Monday. And it was an email that was sent, and he asked me to do some research on it. And I dug around a little bit, and I went on their actual website and saw that five cities or counties in North Carolina had agreed to support it, according to the website. So I reached out to all my fellow clerks at those cities and counties and whatnot. And what they came back with was essentially four of them supported it. I had two or three that did the proclamation, a local proclamation, and then a couple I was unclear on, and I've just gotten those responses back recently, so I want to follow up with them again, but it's because you have two options. They've had 65 mayors that have signed on to support, to show their support on their website, and then 100 have adopted local proclamations. Out of all of those, I've gotten a hold of five of our North Carolina, which is all that I found on the list representing North Carolina. So the proclamations, and then Burke County actually sent me what they did, but I don't know if there was some misunderstanding about what this actually was, because they did a broadband proclamation because of COVID and all the virtual work from home and homeschool and things like that. So they adopted something more geared towards broadband, which didn't quite fit, I think, maybe this specifically. So if you guys are interested in supporting it, I can reach out and see kind of how everyone else has done their proclamations and come up with the wording and everything to go into it and bring it back for your review. But it is COVID Memorial Monday, and it acknowledges the victims, the survivors, the first responders, and everyone included in this whole pandemic, basically. The first Monday in March. Mm-hmm. We got it about a few days before March 1st. So I'm going on the assumption that this is an every March 1st Memorial Day from here on out.
I don't have a general issue with recognizing those individuals who have succumbed to COVID, or families that have had hardships relative to COVID. A memorial implies to me that it has to do with the people who have succumbed to...
It does address survivors and first responders on the website.
Okay. And the reason I ask Mandy to look at it is as mayor, I'm not going to sign up this town without first talking with council about anything like this. My concern was, who's asking us to join? What is the quality of that organization? And is there any, I don't know, anything behind it? I guess maybe I'm just a suspicious individual that I wanted to...
And that was why I reached out to the other five from North Carolina, and one of them stated that her mayor was a member of she named the mayor's commission group, and I can't remember off the top of my head what it was, but they had brought it up at his meeting, and so it kind of has evolved from there.
Okay.
So from what I can find, it's reputable. I don't have anything to dispute that it's not.
Well, from my perspective, I don't know that it's necessary to join a massive group like this. We can put out our own type of resolution that says, you know, we wish to honor these individuals in some way. But I'm wondering if council has a desire to do it. And then we can, in fact, look at what is out there and approach it accordingly.
I don't have a problem with us doing it. I think it'd be ideal if more people were involved. Maybe after another month or something, we could see what else you can find out.
Okay. I mean, I can keep watching the website and see if they're uploading additional towns and cities.
I would personally lean toward a Cure the Beach proclamation rather than joining the big U.S. one or the North Carolina one, because I think our town is unique. You've been presenting the numbers every month for a year now. Cure the Beach has done really well.
I'm kind of with you, John.
Could you make that part of a Cure the Beach proclamation on the first responders, the administration, and the whole team of people that are involved, including how the residents and the visitors wore their masks, kept their, you know, businesses, worked hard at trying to stay open but play by the rules. And we did a really good job, because we were always below any percentage anywhere in this area, the state, and the national.
Yeah, I have a tendency to think when you ask the mayor to sign, let's get the mayors to sign up, that it's implied that the town is signed up. I mean, that's at least my understanding from the past. We've had individuals send out letters as mayor, but not on letterhead. I would say let's take a look at how we feel about this. And where are you?
I think we recognized our employees and our citizens at every emergency meeting, and I think I'm fine with a town proclamation, but I don't really see the huge drive to join. Basically, he's probably a good guy, but a lobbyist that came up with a great idea. I mean,
yeah.
When I research it, that's what it looks like to me. Not saying he's a bad guy at all. We've got plenty of work to do. I don't know that we need to waste town resources on this at all, personally. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
I don't see the need to do anything at all. With it, so.
We've already talked about it more than we need to.
I agree with that.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Okay, Mandy. Thank you. Building inspection. John.
I don't have anything, sir.
Okay. Finance department. Arlen.
No updates for tonight.
Fire department. Ed?
Nothing, sir.
Okay. We're moving right along. Police department. Mike?
Nothing, sir.
Okay. I bet that'll change next month. As we get more and more folks coming to town. Recreation department. Nikki?
Just give Jim.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you did, but I thought you wanted to talk about the...
I have a couple items, but I can...
Jimmy's first.
Okay.
Just on the agenda.
All right.
I'm
just wake me.
I'm going to break the routine here. We did have a few items come in that need council discussion. So we received an inquiry from Island of Lights, and we were set to host the 2020 New Year's Eve celebration, and it was canceled due to COVID. They have requested for us to host 2021, which would ultimately just switch the years. Historically, we've been hosting even years. Now, if we hosted this year, we would be doing the odd years moving forward. I sent the request out to the other department heads to see if that would negatively impact their work or scheduling in any way, but I feel like we're far enough into the year that we can plan accordingly and haven't received, you know, any legitimate reasons why we could not move forward on this year.
In the, they meet all requirements, all, okay.
I'm fine with it.
Yes.
I'm fine with it, Otis.
Something goes bad, we can always change our mind.
Just want to make sure we're right on the, you know, if the situation changes.
Right. It would be pending state restrictions regarding.
Yes. Exactly right.
There could be no gathering limits whatsoever because that event draws thousands of people. There would be no way to enforce social distancing at an event of that nature or masks. So,
how do you document that condition, hypothetically?
Oh, to with the organization?
Yeah, I mean, would that be on the, would that language be on the permit itself or in a cover letter? I mean,
we could definitely put something together that's contingent upon.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I support it as well. Do we need a vote or just a consensus? Andy, which way do we need to go?
If you'll give me a motion, that would be great.
I make a motion we support allowing the New Year's celebration for 2021 to be held in Cure Beach.
Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
The second item was a film request that came in during this last month, and it had a meets council input because it is actually, it would require an allowing them to break two town ordinances with regard to noises near residents at night and the parking at beach accesses. So the proposed film date is June 2nd, and they want to film down near the Coquina Rock outcropping starting at 2:30 in the morning for a sunrise scene. And in speaking with the permit applicant and telling him that the application request actually does violate two town ordinances, so would need a variance from council, they said they were willing to work within, you know, our requirements as long as they could still set up and be filming by sunrise, which is at 6 o'clock in the morning, which the noises on the beach ordinance goes till 7 a.m. So I don't know that, giving them modification or allowing without a variance and them not wanting to adjust out with what is within regulations, then we couldn't approve the request. So our stance is not necessarily that we want to approve it, but we have to bring it to you guys to at least discuss.
Is this, who is this filming? Is this part of a movie? Is this a student?
Short
is
film.
This, do we know, I mean, is it, I just wouldn't want it to get out of hand in one way or the other.
Well, the problem is a generator, they want to run for their lives.
Yeah, and they could look at battery operated, but there's still a group of 10 to 15 people create noise regardless. So I think that the potential for a noise
and the light.
Well, I mean,
can we reach out to Ocean Dunes and get their opinion on it?
I haven't reached out to them.
I'm looking at the props, I'm looking at the act. I don't know what the intent of the scene is. We got a table and we got a couple props on the table and they're not eating props. What's the intent of the scene?
He did email me that, and it's a discussion, kind of an existential discussion type of scene between two individuals. So I don't, and it's not backed by, it's just a short film project from a few adults. There's not a,
just somebody who wants to put
weird,
somebody wants to put props on the beach, big lights, little soft music,
right,
and film it.
It is not a, I see where you're going. That would break more than two ordinances.
That's only happened in Myrtle Beach.
It did?
Yeah.
It did happen in Myrtle
Beach? Oh, yeah.
Well, I wasn't, it's just that I get, it's just, I think I need more information on what these individuals are doing and going to do. And I think that if we were allowed them to do them, they would have to meet the requirements of the ordinances. Just my thoughts. Unless, if it was a, almost, it's just going to sound terrible probably, but if it was a church group or whatever, like I knew what was going on, I just don't know what's going on.
Well, so they, I mean, they could have just showed up and done this, right? So unless someone called and our police showed up for 15 people at sunrise, so I appreciate they came to council. I think I was supportive personally of letting them park once we know it, since it's a Tuesday.
Wednesday morning.
But I think they need to find a solution for the noise issue. Because no one cares about parking in beach access but us. The citizens won't care, but they would care about being woken up at 5 in the morning for people being loud with a generator. And I think battery powered, they could meet their intent. The other thing in their application is they say they're going to use adjacent public facilities, and there's no public restrooms down there.
I have let them know that.
Yeah,
they said they may rent an Airbnb near
right.
there
yeah.
to have access.
I mean, there's plenty of rentals in that property. So.
And then they could park at the
That's right, exactly. Well. So, I mean, I like that Nick, one, I like that they told us about it because they could have snuck down there and just filmed. There's plenty of stuff filmed on our beach all the time. And you know, I don't want to punish them for that. I think they got to figure out the noise issue. And I think they can. There's quiet generators you pay a little more for, or you can get one and you can measure the decibels. And I'm personally supportive if anyone else on council will join me with the parking issue and let Nikki continue to work on the noise issue.
Did you have a comment?
I just want to mention there are temporary sound attenuation blankets that can be hung around the generator.
Yeah, exactly right.
That could be rented for one day at minimal cost.
Or they could pay Ocean Dunes and run an extension cord all the way down here.
Well,
there's lots of ways to solve that problem. It's their problem to solve, but I don't think we let them file on the noise ordinance.
Well,
personally.
I'd suggest that we contact Ocean Dunes and make them aware of this, and then, just like you said, possibility of them using their power for a fee. I mean, it's not up to us to decide that, but that'd be an alternative way of getting around it.
Well, the only issue with that is we haven't contacted everyone on Atlantic Boulevard when we closed the whole road in front of their houses so people could film. So I don't know that I'm in agreement with that personally, because that's a public beach. And so if council is going to start that, just realize every time someone wants to film, we're going to have to contact whoever.
These are typically in the daytime, normal hours. This is
okay.
This
I'm
is
just saying that. I'm just saying that everyone.
I don't think we should at least just tell Ocean Dunes there's a permit here and we're going to allow them to do it. So,
I think I agree with that, but permission's a different issue for me.
And the parking, I'm not too worried about, because if they're there, you know, 2 a.m. to 9 a.m., 10 a.m., it really looks
like a couple
hours.
As long as our police officers know, that's right. Yeah. Just like we've done before for the construction that was.
But they shouldn't be there at 5 p.m. the next day. You know?
Right. Well, once it starts charging, they can pay for parking in public parking.
Yeah, and they've been made aware of paid parking as well.
That's just my input to council, so that's for discussion. I told you guys where I'm at.
You mean any other inputs? I mean, we can...
that could go anyway, man.
If you're looking for consensus, we could do a quick consensus. If you need a motion, we'll take a vote, but... I would tell you, unless I know more about what they're going to film, I'm not supporting.
I'll send you the synopsis of the scene that you sent.
Okay.
Why don't you send out that stuff, and I would still recommend contacting Ocean Dunes HOA and let them know what.
Just as a heads up. But yeah.
Is Jeff on parking? Is he the HOA president, or is he just?
No, he's not the HOA president. No.
And so is the consensus so far that they're okay to park, and they should look at alternate forms of
power.
Operating their equipment, and the lights need to be pointed towards the ocean. And
So, is that
are you?
Season? Does that matter?
That's still the nesting part of the season.
I mean, I like pointed towards the ocean. Does that have any impact to sea turtles?
Oh Lord!
It's not permanent lights, so you like anybody walking on the beach.
So the consensus is four and one no?
Yep.
This is going to be interesting, yes.
Okay, four
and one.
Thank you. Absolutely, thank you.
So does Nikki have the action item to contact Ocean Dunes, or did one of you guys take it?
Yeah, they did that.
Just so we know who has it.
I'll reach out to him.
Okay.
I'll ask Jeff who the That's president fine. Is and hear from him.
I have the information.
Okay.
Public Works.
The fire department for one quick second. I'd like to just publicly commend the fire department this week. I saw them in action. One of the emergency calls was my next door neighbor. And so I ran over there to see if I could assist the spouse. And the guys were amazing. Their quick reaction, the job they were doing, the interface with the comfort to the individual, the comfort to the spouse. I was blown away with the professionalism and the quality of care that they gave this gentleman.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Let's see where we are. Okay, we did the recreation department things, so we were at paid parking. Gentlemen, on tomorrow, I hope to have finished a note to go out to the, a note to be blasted to the people who are on our mailing list for what's going on with parking. I want to reiterate for the moment that the counselor and Arlen and I have been working on the contract for the last 10 days. And we have concluded the contract and signed the contract. And I would say that all of the recommendations that were provided by counselor were accepted and the document was modified. So they were very cooperative in that work. The signs are ordered. Though there's one point we have to deal with on the signs. Equipment is ordered, and I believe it's on its way. Jimmy has agreed to put them in. Now, as for putting in those two pay stations, we believe that there should be one at the end of K that's in concrete, and we can put bolts in that one. And when I say the end of K, I'm talking about the end of K on the north side. I'm sorry, the west side of K at Fort Fisher. And then the other one I had asked Jimmy to take a look at, and he could determine where we can put in a pad, a small pad, and bolt that machine down, and then of course be able to pick it up out of season to take care of them. So Jimmy would be coming back to us with a decision point on that, and I would just imagine we will go with what he recommends. We also, on the signs, I had sent out a note. I didn't get a note from every response from everybody, by the way. And that on the south side of K, between Fort Fisher and Atlantic, there are 15 spaces on the one side, which is Jack Max and a Curry Beach Diner. The proposal was that we use 5-4 pickup, put them in the middle so that people don't back out into traffic and stop people at the light. So my thought was to put them in the middle, and then 5 2-hours at $3 an hour on each side of those. There was only one comment, and Alan had the comment about, I suggested 15-minute signs. Alan was on the point that, geez, maybe 30 minutes is better. I'll let him talk to that. My particular opinion on that is that with 5 spaces, we want them to turn over for those businesses. I don't think you should go in, sit down, have a beer, wait for your order, and then come out and go. I think you should call it in, you come in, you pick it up, and get out of there and let the next guy do it. That's my opinion. But
the reason I made the point was the fact that we currently are doing 30 minutes, and I just want to make sure we were on the same page to do 15 when we currently have, we're doing 30 minutes.
Right, it is 30 now, but I'm not so sure that we want 30.
I think the concern is if if you get there a little early, you go in and it's not ready, and then you end up with a ticket. I mean, I'm not sure that I know which one's better. I have no idea, honestly.
The truth is,
30 minutes turns into 45.
They'll get a ticket, though. Because if the person's riding around checking license plates and they start a timer, when they drive back through, it won't be 45 minutes.
Could be 20 minutes.
I mean, that's the issue.
At least 15 keeps it closer to 30, whereas 30, you know, takes it up to 45.
I don't totally understand the technology, but if it's camera-based where the person goes by and it reads license plates and then it dings, it'll be 16 minutes you'll be getting a ticket.
Hopefully.
The person's riding by. I don't know if I hope that or not, but I'm just thinking that's how it'll work, right? And so I'm sort of with Alan a little bit, is if it's too fast, a lot of our citizens that are just trying to pick up their stuff are going to get tickets.
Well, our citizens won't because they'll have passes, but visitors may.
A pass won't matter. It's time-based.
Oh, well, actually, you're right.
So the way it's flagged, even if you have a residential sticker, if you pull into one of those...
you have to meet the timing.
That's right. If the timing's too short, we're going to get a lot of grief, and I don't know that we help the restaurants that much. That's why
you want
I'm
20,
sort of with Alan, the more I thought about it.
You want 20 minutes?
I don't know what the right answer is.
Or you want 30 minutes?
I think we have to be willing to adjust it after we see what happens. So whatever we start with...
Let's start at 20 and go to minutes.
These signs are going to be posted with minutes, so we're not going to be changing them real easily. So the only thing I would tell you, what do you want?
If all our citizens are calling mad about tickets, I think we'll be changing the signs. So that's my personal opinion. We're going to fix the problem. So we start with whatever makes sense, but if a lot of people get a lot of tickets, I think council will get a lot of feedback, and I think we will fix it personally. At least I'll be wanting to fix it.
I'd rather err on the side of giving them 30 minutes.
John, where are you? I mean, this was just a consensus thing, so where are you? We got 2:30s, 1:15, 1:20.
Just to make it.
Where are you, John?
I would go for
30. 30 it is.
Okay.
30 it is.
He just said start with 20.
Start with 20?
Yeah. So 2:20s, 2:30s, 1:15. So somebody give.
That's right. There you go.
It won't be me.
Look, we'll go with 30. 30 is what's been down there. And if it doesn't get enough turn, then we'll change it. If we get too many tickets, then we'll change it. But whatever it is, you want 30, we're going 30.
Right.
All right. I will let them know that they will be 30-minute spots.
And what about Sandman and the extreme end of 6th? We're going to rope that off? We're just going to let it be?
I think we need to mark it. If they're not marked spaces, they'll get tickets. Chief, are you available in there? Chief Bowden?
Yeah, but do we want people parking at Sandman?
No.
No.
Then let's rope it
off. I think we're going to have to mark it.
Mark it, when you said mark, I think you said mark as in put bumpers in, mark it for parking. So
bumpers, there's no parking.
Well, is John in there as well? So you might as well both come in. So the first question is, if we were to mark off 6th Avenue between G and I and Sandman so that it was no parking, would we just put a sign up saying no parking, or do we need to rope it off? That's the discussion.
I would rope it off.
And so if we rope it off, John will say he doesn't want it in the right way because no one else is allowed to rope it the right way. So then there's space, right, that you can still park. That's why roping it off doesn't work, because how we tell our citizens to rope stuff off is you can't put it in the town right way. And the right of way extends far enough you can pull a car off them, so there's lots, right? See, I pay attention to what John says. See?
I would prefer the signs.
Yeah. Because if you rope it off, the rope off's going to leave parking area. Right?
So we got away with that because there's.
You could go all the way to the edge of the road like the rest of I Avenue is. So.
You could rope it and sign it.
Well, that's what I'm asking on Sandman. Does that cause you a problem because you're telling all our citizens they can't do that, but you're letting the town do it? I don't want to cause you a problem.
Ultimately, it's our town right of way.
I know.
My concern with having the roped off portions in other areas the reason I brought it up before is because I feel like it's almost kind of a liability that we are putting those barriers there.
It's for people to run into.
Yeah.
Well, and you don't allow citizens to do it in the right way.
Put up signs at Sandman and rope off six.
That's what I think. Yeah. I agree with that.
I can live with that.
Okay. Signs at Sandman and roping sixth.
Yep.
And then, is that chief? Sorry to keep on going. So who enforces those two areas, right? So
chief parks,
you do, right?
Probably.
Not the parking.
Because it's not company. A parked space, we would probably have to take care of.
Right. Because I think that's going to be our problem with Sandman, because the citizens get used to parking their vehicles there.
Again.
And they've got to stop, or everyone's going to descend. Once they find that out, we won't be able to. It's either nobody or anybody, and people will free park there, and everyone will be mad at it.
Okay. What we had determined, there would be no charges 8-1 on Sunday for church along 6th and church along 3rd. Mm-hmm. We had determined that it would be $5 an hour, $20 daily. We had determined that it would be $100 weekly if somebody wants to purchase a weekly pass. That it would be $200 for a season pass.
$100 was for employees, though, right?
Yeah, and yes. Presidents more than two.
Right.
You hadn't got the lawsuit.
Right. The 2 hours would be $3. The 30 minutes will be free. The work rate for workers would be $100 for the season while they're employed. The, the daily rate or the rate for citizens if they wish to have their plate registered would be $20 per plate, two plates, and if you need more than two plates, you would have to go to the $100 rate and demonstrate and prove that you had the ownership of the car and the plate, or whatever other variety of ways that Arlen can imagine. Golf cart rentals, people can certainly, though we're keeping the golf cart rentals out of our process. People who do, they can probably hand out a piece of paper that says, if you want to park that golf cart rental anywhere you like, I would suggest you buy a $100 weekly pass. By the way, for locals, anybody else, if they buy a pass, one of those passes can be for the parking of their golf cart. I think that pretty much covers most of the rates, but I'll put that in the letter. Just as one other point, two other points, the interviews are ongoing, and the candidates there look actually very strong as well. I think the leading candidate at this point in time is a 32 years of service with UPS, at least that's one of them that he was excited about. And there was another candidate that had previous parking experience in enforcement who was pretty high on his list. Now, whether or not they come to terms on what he's willing to pay, what they want, or whatever, but he is deep in the process of interviewing and selecting staff. We have to decide where we will give them space. Now, I'll work on that with Mandy and the others. We don't have to decide that here. But it could be a variety of places. I don't think we want them in the main facility. Not sure about that, but Mandy had a lot of good reasons why she thought that may not be suitable. But we'll look at our choices and we'll come back to council probably for consensus. I think that's all we need for now. I'll get that letter written tomorrow. I'll send it to you guys for review. and then we'll probably pop it out on Wednesday would be my guess, or end of day if, but we fire that stuff out at 11 or 12, don't we?
Mayor?
As long as I get it on before noon, it goes out at noon. So it goes at noon every day.
I didn't hear all of that, Mandy.
I'm sorry, it goes out, like even if we put it on tonight, anything before noon, it goes out at noon that,
okay.
That of the current day.
Yep, okay, all right. It's not likely it'll be done by noon. I got
Mayor,
another meeting at 10 o'clock.
A date when we can, as residents,
well,
register
we are still,
our license?
We're still looking at the 1st of April. I asked him that on my call with him on Friday, and he said, I said, do you want us to move it? Do you want us to move it 5 days or something, depending on these people's starting times or whatever? He said, I'll think about that, but right now I'm shooting for the 1st. So,
well, he needs to give us a link to the website and the communication plan. And staff has to understand how to validate all these resident requests that are coming in. I don't know that he needs to do that this week if we think staff's going to be able to validate all the residents' license plate information, because that's going to be a big issue.
The website is under construction. He told me that. They're almost ready to allow you to link to it and put elements of ours on that. I should probably have you talk to Tim about that.
Yeah, because, I mean, and like Dave, Commissioner Hegler said, sorry.
That's fine. That's fine.
With us having to validate everyone, I mean, if we're starting on April 1st, we are at March 15th. So, right. I mean, staff has to have time to validate everyone, too. Right.
And you'll be off on April 2nd. We'll be closed April 2nd.
Yeah, we are. I mean, if I need to work, I'll work to get it done. So, but the point is we're not going to have any of our residents registered.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried
about. We've got to give them time to sign up.
That's right.
Right.
We're also going to be lenient the first couple of weeks, so we have a little bit of a window.
Yeah, that's good. But I just think that the communication plan should be happening now with here's what you have to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I think we also have to send something specifically to all the short-term rental property owners about you need to inform your customers. Because they've got repeat customers who are going to come down and they're going to get eat up with tickets if they don't register their vehicles for the week they're here. I mean, I understand him being sort of easygoing, but he should be pushing a lot harder, he or she, their company should be pushing a lot harder about here's the things you guys need to do so this isn't a train wreck, in my mind.
Well, I would agree with you in talking to Tim, who's done this for 30-some years. He believes that he has almost all that stuff ready for us. I concur with your thing about our staff is going to need time for validation. His point is if we tell them what the validation requirement is, they will actually handle it.
Yeah, well, okay, so what is it? I proposed the registration thing, and someone beat me up on website because I'm putting personal information out there, even though you can black out everything. Because they didn't want their address to be uploaded. Because that was the easiest for me. Is
KBB.
You go to the website.
With what? Your address issue.
Your KB, it's, you, on your, it says KBV fee, $5 on your registration.
Right.
Okay, so you can, I know, that's okay, fine. Well, but you still got to, how does that get to them, right? So if you scan it and block out everything but the license plate number and KBV, I think that's fine. But someone online, like, went all off on me about the fact that, oh, my personal information. I'm like, you don't know how to use a blackouter, but whatever. You know, so the process is unclear, right? Because that's how I think of it is, I just scan my registration and black out my address and leave the license plate number and KBV. And then I think you have to put, so we limited it to two, how do you know that I don't put five in like that too?
I don't get the address thing. Everybody gets mail.
I'm just maybe telling
you. Even if it's to a P.O. box.
It has to be validated by somebody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? It's almost.
You can individually go on the website and load yourself. Because you could load five, and you or anybody else that knows you can individually load, they don't have to.
I mean, it could be an email to town hall with KBV and the license plate number and where you live, so they keep track of too. Because we have all the parcel IDs, so you can say every parcel ID has two and no more, and then once two are listed, and then they can upload it. But that's still a lot of staff work, right? We got to direct staff on how they say yes or no.
Right, and sell and move.
Yeah.
Too. So I'm getting comments, and I've gotten a couple of questions, just people calling in about like the Wilmington Beach area where they live. They're considered Carolina Beach, but it says Carolina Beach, so is that going to cause a hiccup? But there, it does say the KBV on the registration, but what I'm hearing is that, like, the address part, they actually don't keep that part. I guess some people tear that off.
It's supposed to be in your car. The police chief will tell you where it's supposed to be. Your registration has your address on it, and it's supposed to be mm-hmm. in your license, in your glove box by North Carolina statute.
Right.
If you want to vote,
because you get a ticket address. If you don't have it, I can tell you from personal experience.
Okay. Okay. Is there
going to be for a non-resident property owner because their vehicle is not registered in Cherry Beach?
Yeah, they have to show you their property ownership tax.
Right.
Yeah, I know. That, I mean, we're going to have to work through it, and you guys are going to have to be a little flexible, but we need to give you good guidance, and we got to get that word out so that they can work through it.
So, okay, we'll get the information out to the public. I'll get a date from Tim. What I'm hearing is I believe we want more time on our end, but I would like us to talk to him about what his vision is and what they've done for 30 years to do this, right?
Yeah,
we don't have to reinvent it, and he seems so, but we should answer the questions. If we can't answer the questions, my staff work is not totally done. So I mean, that's exactly the way it is.
And we may not need more time on the staff.
We'll talk to him. David brings up some valid points, and we'll talk to him and see if it meets muster. After we talk to him, we can send a note to council saying this is what the view is.
If an individual owns two properties, do they get four $20 passes?
No.
Yes.
They would.
No. Per property.
If he has two properties and they're rented, the individual who is renting the property would get one.
No. So the property owner can designate it, but right. That's how we.
We're going to give. Okay. So. The individual in Oregon who has four beachfronts, she gets eight.
She could if she wanted to purchase eight, yeah.
My next question is
specific
structure
well,
on the property.
It's got to be assigned to her vehicle.
I own a house.
Yeah.
I own an empty lot. Do I get four tickets or just two?
Okay. I would say, my opinion is you get two. Because otherwise, if you have four cars, they still have to be. If you want to give somebody
an empty lot,
a pass,
four cars in your empty lot.
Right? If you want to give somebody a pass, the license plate has to be associated to the individual. So if they have four cars, I guess we're telling them that you can only have two.
Two per lot. No, you can only get passes for two per lot. You can buy the $100 pass for all the rest of them if you have five.
Well, if that's what you guys believe it is, then I guess that's what we'll make it.
Well, I thought that's.
That's not where I was. But.
So here's how Carolina Beach does it. I'm looking on their website. Resident property owner parking passes can be purchased by owners of property in Carolina Beach or individuals renting or leasing property in town. Proof of ownership or residence is required. Tax bill, lease copy, utility bill showing a Carolina Beach address. Resident parking permits are valid in most town-operated lots, whatever. Vehicles that have a parking permit display can use the two-hour parking spaces, or in our case, 30 minutes. However, the permit does not allow any special privileges with regard to the maximum time. So if you stay more than 2 hours there, you can get a ticket as well, right? And then non-resident ones, they say that you buy it. So I think it's the same way. I don't know how, they say you can do it online, but I don't know how you, I guess you must upload it. Because it doesn't, it says you can buy this online, but I don't know how that works. I haven't tried to do it, right? Click here to purchase, maybe. Maybe you upload the document, someone has to approve it, I guess. Online decal requests will not be processed without required documentation attached. So you have to, they upload their registration and proof of ownership or whatever.
Yep.
So you have your registration and then...
And your address.
And if you're a, like Arlen was asking, a person that doesn't live there, you have to upload proof of ownership. So the deed, I guess, and then your registration.
And we had actually talked to them about what a process could be, and I think Mandy had brought up about setting up like a separate email address that people could mail or email their support to. We could look at it from here, and then we would actually give them like a code that they could put into the system that then would allow them to buy, you know, one pass for
$10. Yeah.
So we need to clarify some of that, I guess, with premium parking, just to better understand the process. But I think, you know, we're pretty well along in how it will work. We're just not sure the extent of our involvement here to do some of the verification.
Yeah. I think with that verification, it's going to fall on us to track that it's two per residency or two per property.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think you will.
And then, so like a renter of a property with a long-term rental agreement, are they going to have to reach out to the owner to get a sticker?
My point of view is if you rent and you're a resident as a renter, I think they get the shot at the thing instead of the person who lives in Cary and owns the property.
The way we work it with the re-entry decals is
right.
The two free ones go to the property owner.
That's right.
And the property owners respond. If they want to give them one of them to their tenant, they could do that. If not, the tenant has to come in and buy one.
Okay, so just a thought. Joe lives at 123 3rd Street South. He comes in and says, I live at 123 3rd Street South. Here's my registration. Here's my $5 I pay to Curie Beach and all that stuff. And then Joe, his renter, comes in and says, wait a minute, I'm at 123. I want the 123 spaces. What do we want to tell the person who is a resident of town who has paid the $5? You want to tell them blow smoke?
I guess that's where we were talking about two per property owner, basically. So, but that's something that would have to be decided for sure. So, you know, that could be a case where you could end up with more than two per property if that were the case.
I think we'll just have to flag that. I mean, you're not going to fix everything.
Yeah, I know.
Right? But I think the good thing is, I would at least look at this one and then talk with our vendor on how are we going to do this process to help staff out. But it needs to be locked down on how we're doing it. Right now, Carolina Beach, if you don't want to go in person, you want to do it online, you upload your registration, which is what I proposed and everyone didn't like it. Not everyone in here, people online didn't like that. I got multiple comments that I was like, that they were worried that that's personal information. I was like, okay. If it is fine, then don't get a pass.
That's right. Don't get you. Nobody has to buy a pass as a resident. Nobody.
When people would come in to purchase decals, when we were in that process, they had to provide the same information.
That's right.
We're talking about. So.
Yeah.
I have someone online that wants to make a comment.
On over the system, or they want to
over the system.
Okay.
Craig.
Yeah, this is Craig Galbraith. Can everybody hear me?
Yes,
Craig.
Okay, excellent. I'm speaking as a property owner now. I own several rental properties in Curie Beach, and I heard the discussion about whether the permit should be given to the long-term renters or not. I strongly support, just for appropriateness that the renters who have a long-term rental be allowed to directly get the parking permit versus it all going through the owner.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I don't think every property owner
thanks, Craig.
That lives out of town would agree with you, Craig, but I understand.
So, thank you for that, though. I appreciate that. That is one view. That's one view, and you are a... It kind of puts the lot owner into the position of being the person who is responsible for managing the what license plates can be used.
Yeah. Well, otherwise we're in the process, because what's going to happen is the property owner and the renter are going to both come to town hall. Whoever gets here first is going to be happy, and the other is going to be mad at staff. Council should manage that by saying, look, this is my opinion, but the property owner owns the property. They pay the property taxes. They're responsible if the town goes and puts a lien against the property. They can manage what happens with these passes. If them and their renter can't agree with it, then the renter can pay the resident extra $100 to have a pass if they want one. But what's going to happen is we're going to put staff in the middle of the property owner and the renter. Whoever gets to them first is going to be happy, and then the other person is going to be mad at staff, as opposed to they should be mad at council for making
decisions.
They
should be mad at us.
Right.
Generally,
well, if you don't do it, it's all one way. That's what happens, right? And so my personal opinion is it's the property owner, and if you're renting from the property owner, you should work with the property owner. And if you're the person you're renting from wants to take their pass, then you get to pay $100 because you're still a resident. You can register your car for $100. We've set a resident fee for extra cars. If the property owner wants to suck them up, then they do, or they can designate it to you. But I don't want staff in the middle of that fight. That's my opinion, right? Because then it's a first come, first serve, and staff has to deal with the downfall of it.
So in my notes, y'all keep saying $100, but in my note, the seasonal rate is 200,
except for employees and residents who want more than two passes. That's what we said last time, I thought.
Mm-hmm. We did. 200
you
is a
vote,
guess.
You made us go back and vote on it.
Yeah. No,
200 is a guess.
I had it 3-2. Seasonal rate was 200. The weekly rate was 100.
Right.
Yes. And that's where that's those back, are guest rates.
And then when we came back, we talked about for employed people was 100 for the season, and residents for more than two.
I have that for business workers.
And residents more than two.
Okay, I'll go back to my and listen to my.
So if you have four cars, your first two are $20.
There is a solution to this. We could say that the absentee owner can register two cars, and that the rental can register two cars, and then nobody's mad at anybody.
No, I'm mad.
Why are you mad?
Because I'm a property owner that lives in town, and my property only gets two cars registered, and now someone else gets four for their property. Every person that lives on their property should be mad at what you just said.
Because
people who are living out of town and the renters get a good deal, mm-hmm. which is taken away from revenues of the town that's going to defray all of our taxes. That's the whole point of this, right?
To some extent, yes.
Yeah, so no. So you live out of town, you get a good deal. No. So
every renter has to pay $100.
No, their landlord may say, I don't come down, you can take them. That's between them and their landlord. They may not have to.
How am I going to know when the guy comes and says, I have my landlord's permission? You going to give me a note?
We're going to have to get I think my opinion is the best way to control it is only the property owner. If the property owner allows their tenant to purchase,
you ask your tenant for an email that you or a letter that you can show to a staff.
Yes, Jim.
Staff 10 has worked through these issues multiple times in 30 years, and he may have some useful guidance.
Yeah. Let's talk to Tim about it.
What?
Let's talk to Tim about it and get his input on it at this point. Just to see, but I agree with David.
Yeah, so I'm okay with the solution. I think, Tim, we need to ramp up answering the issue for staff so that they have a clear-cut guidelines on how this works, right? And if the guideline is, come to our website and we'll do a law, fine, but that takes them out of it, but I don't know how he's going to be able to do that very well. I mean, with the registration, he could. Staff may never see
okay,
it.
Okay, so we have to answer the basic, we'll do that, but the basic question then is, where we have some disagreement, maybe it's just me, that it is two per landowner per lot, or per rest, or per buildings they own.
Yeah,
per deed.
I think it's per property.
Two per deed.
So in Mr. Galbraith's case, the house he's in, he gets two.
Yeah.
The one he rents, he gets two more, and that rental, if it's a long term, can give him a license plate number that then Mr. Galbraith has to register as the owner.
You have him do it.
New Jersey license plate.
Yep. You have him do it. And if the guy moves in the middle of the year.
If they're a renter, they're supposed to register their car in North Carolina, too. That's another rule that I know about as well.
Right. But it won't have a North Carolina license.
And then you have the guy move in the middle of season.
They're long term.
So, I mean, I.
Yeah, there's going to be some.
So.
It's going to be a long term.
I mean, look.
Yeah.
I'm at the point where I want to make it simple. If it is two per deed, then it's two per deed, and they can worry about how they distribute it.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. Two per deed. Alan, where are you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just two per deed.
Okay. So it is. And we'll get with Tim and I guess it'll be Arlen, Mandy, you, and I, and we'll talk to Tim about how they've done it, what they're doing, what they expect from us, and you can get the status on the website. And then you can tell me if it needs to be the 15th for actual implementation based on whatever we may need to do. Okay. Well, that was it for parking. Okay, what do we have next? We've got Island Women donation of beach mat.
Everyone has seen the request that Island Women submitted initially.
John, can you come in here?
They resubmitted since Carolina Beach, their variance was approved to reinstall for this season. So Island Women resubmitted their request to Mandy. When it was initially submitted last summer, we did our due diligence and looked into the specifics of their request. They wanted to place it at 110, which is the Oceanfront Park beach access. They wanted us to rearrange the parking down there so that there was accessible parking directly at that access, to reduce the drop-off at the end of that access, and what wasn't included in the initial request, but in my further communications came out, was they wanted us to also store the mats in inclement weather situations and in the off season. So when we first looked at all of our accessible accesses to see which would support it in compliance with ADA standards and which would not. It was at the beginning of September, it was only E&H that would. So John went out this last week and reevaluated the beach, and since then the sand is constantly shifting, and right now L and H Avenue are the only two accesses that would support, that you could put a mat at and it would still be compliant with the slope for what is appropriate. If it's too steep, and they're encouraging folks to go out there in their normal everyday wheelchair, then it could be a bad situation.
They wanted to put it at the pier. And they were not really conducive to the last time when we offered them something else, right?
Yeah, when we suggested E or H last fall, they were not interested in any access but 110. which is two of them up here, not directly next, but the ocean.
But the ocean front park side is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Right there.
But, I mean, if you want to donate something, you think it should be donated, and the town should have the benefit of determining where it needs to be placed. Otherwise, is it an advertisement? If we believe, I know that Jimmy has said it may be tough to keep in that spot.
Yeah, the sand is, Oceanfront Park access is one that the sand shifts constantly.
Yeah, because of the pier.
There's sand there.
Sure.
Every week in the summer to keep it within a reasonable range. Elm Avenue would be slightly better. It's still connected to the accessible boardwalk, to accessible parking, and downtown with restrooms, the businesses, which was their concern with going to Eater H previously.
Well, Elle's got the same problem, right? So it was good for now, but it's still in that zone around the pier, right? So, I mean, the right one from public works perspective is H or E. It's not up by the pier because of the way the beach moves. Would you agree, John, based on what you've seen? And Ed, from just being on the beach?
Elle Avenue looked good as of right now, and H Avenue generally always looks pretty good.
Right. That's the best place for sand in town.
From our evaluation last fall to this,
yeah.
The only one that's stayed.
What I think it is, if you look long term, would you agree, Ed, just from kind of the beach where the sand stays the most, H is, I don't know why, I think it's something to do with how the pier interacts, but I think that's typically the one of the places.
Yeah, up there between basically H and E stay pretty good. How long is the tarp or the mat? Yeah. That'd be a big factor too, is how long it is. Because there's a lot of places down there that really wouldn't support a long length mat.
Right.
In their initial proposal, I think they talked about 30 feet out and then 10 or 15, like, teeing off each end of that. And when we looked, a lot of times that put it right in the tee, right in the middle of the emergency lane as well, which would be an issue.
Right.
You're encouraging folks to sit on mats, and that would be in the emergency lane.
Opinions? No opinions? I've asked questions.
I've got some concerns that, you know, we do have some times of the year that the high tide mark is almost at the dune line. And there's very little place to fit on the beach. How does this map interact with that? Does it wash it out? Does it just go over the top of it?
I think they're told as we pick it up and Public Works takes it off the beach.
Yeah, I know during tropical storms or high expected surf events, they pull the one off in Carolina Beach temporarily.
But is that something they want us to do?
Yes.
I think they would pull it up, maybe stack it, and then it would be on us to transport.
Did you hit that, Ed?
Nobody moved enough. Yeah, just press the button, Ed.
Just push that button, top one.
We're getting staggered.
There you go.
And transport and store.
Where would we store that? And why would we have our town employees doing it?
I'm with you, Jeff.
Are we responsible for it if we store it and it gets damaged?
Yeah.
Well, I guess my point would be is, what is the value of rolling this thing out that is beyond our big, tired, you know, wheelchairs that we offer for free?
Right. I think the benefit of the mats is that it allows the users to utilize their own chair, which they can operate under their own power. And the big, tired beach wheelchairs have to be pushed by someone. So it gives them more
So they have to be swept off every day?
They do, and that would be something that the organization would be responsible.
They would do that.
Correct.
What happens when they get to the end of the mat?
It just allows them to go out onto the sand.
It's dragons.
Does it just
nice.
It's the end of the world.
I'm just wondering how a regular wheelchair is going to navigate the sand.
They're not supposed to leave the mat.
I think we got a lot of questions, and I'm not necessarily opposed to making, to giving our visitors and our citizens that have accessibility issues a better opportunity to beach. I'm not opposed to that at all. But I think there's a lot of logistics we got to work out before we should get into an approval of this, or approving or agreeing to do this, without working out some more of the details.
And was the variance just for Carolina Beach, or is it for all beaches everywhere?
It was just for Carolina Beach. Yeah. It's John and I both understanding that we would have to apply for our own variance.
Right.
So that would go before CRC and everything?
Correct.
So. Where is theirs? I think I'd like to go see it.
I don't believe it's out yet.
Is it at Hamlet?
It right at their main, the boardwalk area, so it goes out. It actually does like a rectangle.
Like
where their beach stage is, it's kind of.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
But you don't think it's out yet, so we can't look at it.
I don't believe it's out for the season yet. I can find pictures from last year and send them.
If you go to Ocean Care, I
think it would be.
Well, okay, so we want a few more answers. Is that what we're saying? Because you're looking for an answer from us to take it or not. So we want a few more answers. So we need somebody to write down the questions. What questions does council have?
Are we responsible for it if it's damaged, if we have to store it?
Well, we should have somebody, there's going to be a lot of questions on this. We should have somebody from council engaged in this. Not leave it with Nikki, and then every time she comes back, we have three more questions.
I'll be more than glad to meet with, to help Nikki with this. We'll come back to council on whatever we find out.
So far, I have, are we responsible for damage during storage? That's a question.
Why don't we send you questions online? I don't think everybody's got them at the top of their head.
I would think if the island women are donating that mat to Curie Beach to use, if it gets damaged, then we decide, are we going to replace it? Are we going to throw it away? Or do we ask the island women for another?
We need a memorandum of agreement.
Once, if it's a donation, it's ours. And then we decide where to store it and how to repair it and all the rest of that stuff. I don't think we would be required to repair it and give it back if they donated it to us.
We should get our questions to Nikki this week. It's Monday night by Friday. Let's get our questions to Nikki. And gentlemen, think about it so that we don't have to go through these questions again, and we can make a decision.
Yep. Get them to her by Friday. Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. Cool. I agree with that.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Nikki.
Absolutely.
Okay, I don't have any mayor updates beyond
water tank
the.
First.
What's that?
Water tank.
Did I miss? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, David, you have the water tank.
Okay, so if you can, for council and anyone, if you can go to the second attachment and open it and go to page 5 first, you'll see a picture of the water tower. So we got a request from U.S. Cellular to replace and upgrade some antennas, as well as add some antennas. So I looked at the lease that was signed in 2000, and then we did an update in 2013, and then some renewals. Ordered the town attorney, he may not have got time to look at it, and I apologize, the original lease. The lease is not based on number of antennas, which is what I was looking for, and that's why I sent it to you, town attorney, because if it would have been based on antennas, then we'd want to talk about whether we should how we should approach changing the fees, but as I read it, it's based on access and the property, and then Jim stand up, so maybe he's going to correct me a little bit.
Never.
Well, no, that's why I wanted you to look at it, right? So I looked at this from an engineering technical standpoint. It's safe what they're proposing, and that's why I'll take you to the pictures. But what I was interested in with the attorney is their proposal does not mention anything about changing the fee structure, and the fee structure doesn't look like in the lease it's based on antennas. It's based on just access to the property for cellular equipment, unless you found something that I didn't.
I wasn't focused on the fee provision. Where does that show up off the top of your head?
That's what I'm saying. Hold on, I have to open it. I'm sorry.
Base rent.
Yeah, it's in base rent, but if you look, it doesn't say anything about what it's based off of other than access. So in the contract, nowhere does it mention this amount of equipment.
No, I think
it's a capability-based lease.
Here's my takeaway from and I appreciate you sending me these things. The original lease, of course, as you mentioned, has been extended through a 2017 amendment and mm-hmm. now runs with renewals to 2045. It does have access concerns and all that. The use of the premise is the key provision for what they want to do. The use of the premises being including modification, installation, and construction for communications antenna, provided the plans for construction, modification, installation will be approved by lessor, which approval shall not be unreasonably withheld. So my takeaway was severalfold. One, reading the base rent, I don't see where it's, I think it's just a rent term per month, not conditioned on other elements or features.
That's correct. And it indexes with inflation yearly.
Yeah, correct. Second takeaway was I wondered how it was a twofold question. If they're going to do something on a water tower, how do we know what they're going to do is safe? Some of that was handled in the communications with you, and there was nothing in the lease to contradict it where you wanted the sealed and dated engineer.
Exactly right. Sure. Structural engineer approves the plans. Right. Exactly right.
And I don't. You can far better gauge the nature of that assessment than I can. I note that it wasn't a condition in the lease, but apparently that's the way they're going, and it seems logical if you're going to keep approving it. But of course, the other two things that sold it for me were the indemnification provision and the insurance provision. So there's nothing in the lease that says that you've got to go out and get your own appraisal. They've given you appraisal. You have some expertise, which adds to the consensus on that. And in a worst case scenario, it is consistent with the use of the premises. Worst case scenario, we seem to be covered by insurance or indemnification. So I didn't see an issue.
Good. So that's what I want counsel to hear. If you go back to the picture, on page 5, it shows what we have right now, just so you're aware of here's what it is. And then if you go to page 9 of 16, on the left, the one that doesn't have any bright colors, that's what's out there right now. On the right is the antennas they're proposing to add. So you can see they're adding. It shows 3, but they're really adding 5. But part of it is boxes and everything. All of the engineering stuff is in here for you to see. It is properly sealed, and we are insured, like the attorney said. So I'm just requesting permission from council to approve this so they can get started. I told them that I would bring it to council. I didn't have the authority to approve this without council approval. I am recommending approval because it is sealed by a structural engineer. And then of note for the lease itself, if you remember back in the fall, someone approached Arlen or Mandy about buying out some of our leases with this equipment.
Right.
I'm not proposing we do anything about that, but our lease does give them the first right of refusal. So if someone comes and tries to buy out the lease in there, if we start entering negotiations, before we can get very far, we have to engage them if we ever decide to do that, right? So if we decide that we are not getting the proper amount of money for our lease, we think it's not of value, the lease does require us to engage them before they get first right of refusal.
That's correct.
Yeah. So that's just a separate issue, not the approval I'm requiring at all.
I wanted to add something about indemnification to provide further assurance. Lessee or U.S. Cellular shall indemnify and hold the town harmless, yada, 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 on the result of any loss, damage, or injury caused by or on behalf of or through the fault of lessee, or in any way resulting from lessee's presence upon lessor's land. So that in any way is quite broad, a broad protective provision. Mm-hmm.
Is U.S. Cellular the only person on that water tower?
On that one, I believe so. This tower has multiple.
Yeah, that's right. Cause
but I don't think that tower, I'm not positive, to be honest. I'm looking at their equipment list and everything. I think they are, but I don't know that for a fact, honestly. They could have a sublease.
This one, I think it's AT&T and Verizon.
Right.
Because the reason I asked the question is that...
Well, they may not be, right? So this is LTE antenna, so I don't know that it's actually Dublin. But it helps our citizens, right? So it's our cell phones that are working. And that's why I looked in the lease to see if it was based off capability, but it's not a capability-based lease, and that's why I wanted the attorney to look at it.
But we could still ask for more money.
Not per this lease.
Not
until it comes up, we can't.
Not until 2045 if they renew the lease.
We could try to sell it to someone else and get them to pay us more that way, but that's why I'm saying this does not open up the lease for financial stuff. That's why I wanted the attorney to look at it, because I was looking for that as well.
Right now,
can we not charge for our permission to add stuff to this tower?
Not for that lease. No. We gave them access.
No, we're not changing the lease.
Yes, we are. The lease gives them access to put communication equipment on there. It doesn't say how much, as long as it's structurally safe. That's what the lease gives them.
There's no changes to the lease. The question is approving what they want to do, which is what they want to do is authorized under the lease.
Right. That's what I was looking for. So this is a capability-based lease, John, not a individual capacity-based lease. And that capability, the way it's in that lease, is very broad. Because it was written in 2000. And then when we redid it in 2014, we didn't change anything. And that's why I pulled it out and looked at it, and that's why I sent it to the attorney, because if we could have, then that's what I do. If we think we're not making the right amount of money, what we should do is shop around for someone to say they want to pay us more and then go back to them. That's the way to do that. That's why I brought it up. But it's not under what they're asking for. And if we say no without a technical reason, they can sue us for breach of the lease.
Yeah, the provision says your approval shall not be unreasonably withheld.
Yeah. I did look at that, and that's why I said it to him, because if it would have been by the number of antennas, then we would be saying, okay, let's talk about the money now, because that's what I look for.
Well, I have leased homes over the years,
right,
and had the lessee ask to add a tree or take out a window or paint the side of the house.
Yep.
And I said, yeah, we can come to terms with that for a fee.
Yeah, that's not the same as, okay, I'm going to put another bed in the bedroom.
It would be if they asked permission to add it.
I'm just saying that I don't think you could ask, and if they said no, I don't think you could sue them for breaking the lease.
No,
right?
No, I agree with you. And I couldn't sue the lessee. I would just tell them you can't do it, or you can pay me if you wanted to.
Yeah. Well, under this lease, we can't tell them they can't do it unless we have a reasonable reason. And it's not because we think they should pay us more. But if we do, so if we were to go out on the market and find out right now that really we're getting underpaid, the way to attack that is to find a third party that says they want to, was interested in it. I mean, we could try to renegotiate.
You're talking about leveraging movement, because I don't see anything about termination in here.
Right.
Also didn't see anything about them subletting space either. There's assignment possibility, but I didn't see subletting.
Yeah, on this one. Yeah, that's why I said I think this is the only company on the tower.
Right.
It doesn't,
which is not the same as this tower out here, which they built on our property. Correct. So it's actually they own the tower, or one of them does. I don't know which one these days.
It doesn't preclude us from adding others to the tower, or to the water tower, does it?
We have to look at that. I didn't look at it that way.
Because, I mean, if you're looking for more income, I mean, that's one shot. But then the other reason I asked that question was is because if there's more than one person on a tower, I mean, I don't know, could somebody put in equipment that's detrimental to other people?
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're at least that, let that, right? So if we interfered with their equipment, we'd be in the problem, I'm sure.
Yeah, they've got quiet enjoyment.
It sounds like to me we got a lease that leans more towards the cell phone company than us.
I don't know about that. I mean, we've made a lot of money off our water tower that would be standing there anyway. So over the last 20 years, Arlen could tell you how much we've made. We've probably made $200,000 or $300,000.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember that one in particular, but it's probably, it's at least $2,000 a month.
Right. Yeah. So we've made $250,000 for a water tower that we just need to supply water to the town. And our citizens have enjoyed cell phones that work better, right?
Well, so,
anyway, I'm requesting council approval. I make a motion that we approve this request with U.S. Cellular based on the attorney's input as well as the engineering review that was attached with it.
Second.
I do have one last question, and that is there is no implication in the agreement that would imply that them adding equipment or adding value to that particular thing extends the lease.
There's no provision to that.
Okay.
The lease extensions are by an amendment, which it automatically renews based on both parties being okay with it.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
So, Mandy, I'll copy you when I send that, and I'll copy the town attorney with approval.
Okay. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, David. Mr. Oliver.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. The NC Byways spring meeting is coming up. Last year, we were a bronze sponsor. They're requesting a sponsorship again. With that, it's a $500 sponsorship, and we get one person gets to attend, which is a $150 value. So it's a net of $350. Just requesting that council approve, make a motion that council approve this expenditure out of our budget.
Second.
So what we're asking for, $500?
$500, and then we get $150. Well, one of us will get to go free, basically.
Okay, so it's $350, essentially.
Yeah.
Since we already approved the other. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. So there's a request for a closed session. Do I have a motion to go to closed session?
Make a motion to go to closed
session. For attorney-client privilege.
I am. Make a motion to go in closed session per North Carolina General Statute 143-318-11A3 for attorney-client privilege.
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That drive north is going to be.
How do you pause it again? Report.
Okay, we have a motion to return to open session.
Make a motion to return to open session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So, council consulted with the town attorney. No actions were taken. Council also gave direction to the building inspector regarding an issue.
No action taken.
No votes taken. Make a motion to close.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. This weekend beer, right?
Yeah. So you said you probably.